Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Lesson 5. The Cry of the Prophets. Prophets are very, very special persons. We find them in the Old Testament. They are called by God to give information to the people from the one who lives in the universe, from the one who is the creator, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And people who are called to be prophets are very special. They have to be brave, very brave. As we see, their messages are of a kind. When you have to address a warning to a king that his behavior is not in order, it's very dangerous. If the king becomes angry, maybe he will kill the prophet. So it's a message for life and death, for both. The recurring call to justice. We have a look at Samuel. This prophet, when we read about his childhood, was born as an answer to prayer. And that's the meaning of his name too. Hannah, his mother, had no child, and she prayed and testified, "O Lord, if I give birth to a son, I will bring this boy back to you, to your holy center. He shall be with the Lord all his life long." And from early years on, Samuel became a prophet very early. He had the first vision when he was still a child. And he was one of the most influential prophets in Israel that ever lived. And he had wonderful success. He was the headmaster of prophet schools, and he educated young people, the youth, talented young men who became teachers, pastors, in a way, as we say today, in Israel. And because of his work, later on we see the fruit of all his work in the kingdom of David and Solomon. He, Samuel, through God, laid the fundament. At the end of his, nearly the end, at the end of his lifetime, the eldest came up to him and said, "Well, we want to have a king like all the other heathen nations around us." And this was something very difficult for him to bear. And he was very sad about this question. And God said to Samuel, "It's not you who is despised. They despise me, God, the king. I've been their king up to this point. They do not want to have God as their king anymore." And then they got their first king. And Samuel warned him, "What will happen?" He said, "Oh, it doesn't matter. We want to have a king. We want to be like all the other nations." "Oh, this king, he will take your sons for him in the army. He will take your daughters that they cook for him in his palace," and so on and so on. And they didn't want to listen. "We want to have a king." And then they got one. When the king was good, it was good for them. If he was bad, it was bad for them. And they experienced it. And all the warnings, the people discovered the warnings. They were the truth. Amos. Amos tells us about his call to be a prophet. In Amos 7, verses 14 and 15, we read, "I was neither a prophet nor the son of a prophet." So he means, I have not been a member of a prophet school, have not been educated by a former prophet, but I was a shepherd. And I also took care of sycamore fig trees. But the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, go, prophesy to my people Israel. It's important that we get this information. So prophet is not something you look at it and say, well, I want to become a prophet as well. You can't choose it by yourself. It's God. It's God who calls someone as his prophet. And if God does not call, you won't be a prophet. And here, God called him. Although he was tending the flock. And he had to tell something. Now, what did he have to tell? In his first chapters, we read warnings, which I addressed to the nations around Israel, the neighboring nations. And the people listened with interest. And at that time, the kingdom was already divided in the northern kingdom Israel and the southern kingdom Judah. And when Judah was addressed with warnings to the people from Israel and the northern kingdom, they could listen to that in a quite fine condition. But then, and that was the main aim, Amos addressed the upper class in the northern kingdom in Israel with very harsh words. Now we read in Amos 3, that these palaces of the neighboring nations, they will become desolate. And this is not hard to bear for someone in Israel. When the Philistines will be demolished. But when it comes to themselves, then it will be difficult to bear the message. In Amos chapter 8, verse 4, we read, "Hear this, O you that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, to fall, saying, when will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn in the suburbs, that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit, cheating." God sees it, he hears it, and he tells his prophet about it. And the prophet addresses the upper class. What else do they think? So God reveals the thoughts of these people. "That we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes." Yeah. "And sell the refuse of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. So we see this message of the prophets. It's quite something, isn't it? And if you are addressed as a leader, and you, if you have done these bad things, and you are addressed by a person who was tending the flocks, and you are the king, and you become angry, so, well, I have the power, I will kill this prophet. It happened from time to time. And from time to time, a king and leading people listened to the call of the prophet, either or. If the warnings were not heeded, it ended in a catastrophe for the upper class. Micah. In chapter 6, verse 8 of this prophet we read, "He has shown you, O man," namely God, "what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God?" Three things. To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly. That's all. It's easy. Or it seems to be easy. Only three aspects of life. But how did the leaders who had the power act in those days? In chapter 2, verse 9, we read, "The women of my people have you cast out from their pleasant houses. From their children have you taken away my glory forever." When a powerful person uses his power to do bad things, God sees it, and God reacts. So when we read the messages of a prophet, we see there are warnings addressed to those who are responsible for it. And on the same hand, you see God is still waiting for a turn in their behavior. And God warns them not to go on like this. If they change their behavior, all the bad things will not come. But if they continue, surely it will end in a catastrophe. Surely. So warnings, when they are heeded, it's okay. But if they are not heeded, you will be in trouble as the leader of a people. So prophets, I beg help that your life does not end in a catastrophe. And that's the same for us today when we read these prophets. The messages of them, maybe we discover, oh, that's for me as well. But I don't want to listen. Oh, do you see the end of not listening? Do you really want to experience this trouble? It's always an advantage to change your behavior if you address that it is not in order. And that was the aim of the prophets. They wanted to help a powerful class to find a better way for the future. So God is a God of love. He wants to help his nation to grow, to prosper, that they have peace, that the enemies will not come into the land, will not attack. God wants to do everything. But he can't protect his people if they leave him and go to other gods and behave worse than the heathen nations. So in all these aspects, the prophets wanted to be helpers for a better future because God wanted to help them. He sends prophets for a turning point. If you heed the message, you are safe. If you do not heed the message, all the warnings will be fulfilled. And very often we see, when we look back in history, it would have been so easy to get out of the time of trouble. So easy. If you are willing to heed the message. So it's the will of a leader. Does he want to listen or does he not want to listen? And it's the same with us today. Do we want to listen for our caring Father? Ezekiel. Now this prophet experienced the captivity of the leading class and that they were brought to Babylon. And Ezekiel had to go with them. And he prophesied there. In chapter 34, we hear a reproof of the shepherds of Israel. In verse 2 we read, "Son of man," God addresses Ezekiel, "prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus says the Lord." So this is the typical expression we hear so often. "Thus says the Lord. Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and you clothe you with the wood, with the wool. You kill them that are fat, but you feed not the flock." What a difference to the time of Jesus. He said, "I am the shepherd, the good one. I want to feed the flock." But the leaders in those days, they wanted to kill the shepherd, and they did it. They did not want to heed the message. And here we read in verse 4 about these bad leaders. "The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick. Neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away. Neither have you sought that which was lost. But what did you do instead? But with force and with cruelty have you ruled them." With force and cruelty. And God is a watching God. He watches and warns. Continuing bad behavior will always be disastrous in the end. So he warns beforehand. In these verses that go on, the Lord says in verse 10, "Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock, at their hand and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. For thus says the Lord God in verse 11, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. And that happened when Jesus Christ became a human being and was there in Israel. I will search my sheep. So that's the difference. The rulers, they ruled with cruelty and force. So therefore, God sends his Son to show them how it should happen, that there is a blessing for all of them. Isaiah. He's the prophet who wrote the most. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah is the biggest, 66 chapters. Oh, what a book. And from the beginning, the warnings are very clear and sharp. In verse 15, in the first chapter, we read, and when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. When you make many prayers, I will not hear. God's words? Why so? Your hands are full of blood. That's the reason why God cannot hear. It doesn't help when you cry to God, when your hands are full of blood. You have to confess and repent first that he is willing to listen. And therefore, how do you get to the turning point? Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Now that's the other way. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. So we see the weak people addressed here. And then this wonderful verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. So your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Ah, what a message. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Do we see the heart of God, his character? If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Both aspects, warnings and a chance that is opened. Whenever God addresses in this double way, warning, helping, he wants his people to grow. And the leading class, they're the most important ones. They're the leaders. They lead in a direction. And if it's the wrong one, all the people will be lost. So therefore, so often the leaders are addressed. They lead in the right or wrong direction. Now Isaiah, in his first chapters, is very open. In chapter 3, we read in Verse 13, the Lord stands up to plead and stands to judge the people. The Lord will enter into judgment with the ancients of the people. So he wants to be the judge, because the judges, they can be bribed. They take presents and then they do not judge in a just way. They support the strong one who acts badly. Verse 16, moreover the Lord says, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes. See, when you're so rich that you live in luxury, then you behave differently. And it will be bad for you in the end. Walking and mincing as they go, and making a tinkling with their feet. So we see, it was all the same, all the time. When people have too much, then they lose the right attitude for reality. When we hear of dictators, when they are overthrown, and then you have a look at their palace, and then you discover the wife of such a dictator in our days, 1,000 pair of shoes. How silly. How silly. But that's the outcome. Too much wealth, and then you act in such a way. Summary. When you have a look at this piece of art, it's a painting by Maximilian Lernscher, an Austrian artist. We see here Ulrich Zwingli in Switzerland, 500 years ago. On January the 1st, 1519, he started preaching in Zurich, Switzerland, middle of Europe. He opened to the people the Gospel of Matthew, week after week, weekend after weekend, showing them who the Messiah is, who Jesus is in reality, the character of God. And he continued preaching. And after 3 years, there happened something. The leaders of the town, the ruling class, they discovered we should heed the message. We should heed the warning. We are the rulers. We can decide. We are in power. We can change. And they changed. A reformation started from the upper class down. It's strange. So this is not normal. And a blessing was received in the state of Switzerland up to this very hour. For 500 years, no more war. And the people lived in safety and peace. Zwingli acted like a prophet. He showed God's will. But he would have gained nothing if they hadn't heeded the warnings. So there is such a big chance whenever someone appears on the scene, showing what is God's will. If you act according to God's will, a blessing will be received. If you are stubborn, do not want to listen, I don't want to hear this, be quiet, be silent, go away, do not disturb our life, then your life will be disturbed in a bigger way. The prophets, reformers, they wanted to be helpers for the future because God wanted to help them. So the next time you read something in your Bible and you discover, that's for me, this text is exactly for me. Maybe there's another meaning here. That can't be, because then I should change my behavior. And I do not want to change. That's bad if you act like this. But if you heed the warning, you could earn blessings, blessings, blessings. Whenever we discover something, I've done wrong, there is a chance for you. This is the first step. And then take the next one, step after step. Discovering, taking it to your heart, and then, and with God's help, and He will help you, He will send His Holy Spirit. He will fill you with His Spirit if you open yourself up to Him. And everything will change. Our miserable condition we are in, this miserable condition, it's because we have made decisions, wrong decisions in the past. And God wants your life to be bettered up. He wants you to grow. Do you see God as an enemy or as a friend? This is the point. Who is He? He loves you. He cares for you. And therefore, He addresses your wrongdoing. His warnings change. Otherwise, you will end in a way you do not want to end. Therefore, God addresses you beforehand. He loves you. Listen and obey, and you will be blessed.